My name is Aslam Levy. I'm a coordinator for the volunteer program in Table Mountain National Park. The program has been running since 2011-12. It was the brainchild of myself, where I basically created this program in a sense of safety. I'm educating people. And with 2011-12, I basically started the program where I had to go for operation in 2011, where went for this op on my back, and while laying in bed after the operation, monitoring the radio, because that was my only companion, which I basically had in bed, and knowing most of the rangers' capabilities on the routes on Table Mountain and hiking and things like that. So there was a rescue happening at Nundadno Ravine, and monitoring the radio, I could hear on radio communication that the medic, where I work with, because I do quite a lot of rescues within in Table Mountain, with Metro and with the rangers. So on listening to the conversation on the radio, I could hear the uncertainty of where they were going.
Yeah.
And I stepped in on the radio in bed.
Yes.
And asked the guys, one guy, what is he seeing in front of him? And he explained to me, and I said, okay, now if he looks to his left-hand side, right-hand side, you will see a gabion. And at the gabion, there's some staples up in the rock. They have to take that route. They have to climb up there. Mm. And then you will have to basically walk up. Once you get to the top, you've got about a 10-minute walk until you get to a spike, which actually points to the direction of Hard Bay. And from what I gathered on the conversation which they had and the information that came through, I figured out that this person could only go missing on that route around there, which isn't a route. And these guys was walking about 15-20 minutes, and I called them again. I said, you're basically at the spike now. And they said, how do I know? So I said, I'm watching it. So they said, now where am I?
Yeah.
So I said, I'm in my bed.
Yes.
And I said, now, okay, now look at the spike. It's pointing towards Nundadno, Hard Bay side there. Go to the left-hand side of that. There's a thin footpath. If you look closely, there's a thin footpath. Follow that footpath, and that person would be somewhere in that area. And as they were walking, I said, okay, you're on the flat surface.
Yes.
And this guy's like, how do you know we're here?
Yeah.
So with the experience I've got in hiking in the mountain, I know the people's distance they would walk in a certain time. And with that, I was laying in bed, I thought to myself, you know, if I would knock over and kick the bucket,
yes,
then my little bit of knowledge I've got of the mountain,
yes,
would actually be a waste.
Yes.
My life would be a waste.
Yes.
So I started 2012 with Plattekloof. Plattekloof is one of our, in Table Mountain, one of the busiest hiking routes. It's like a supermarket mall during December.
Mm.
Because 8 o'clock, half past 7, you'll have people going up there already. It's a 2 hour for some people, hike up Table Mountain. But it took lots of rescues. People getting dehydrated, muscle cramp, muscle fatigue. And I concentrated with 5 guys just on Plattekloof.
Yeah.
From December until about January, February.
These guys are volunteers.
Those are volunteers.
Our clients that are coming.
Yeah. So I trained them in the sense of educating people where you're going to, drink your water sparely. And when we saw someone struggling, we always had a Coke. I said, Coke bar one. Because most of the people's dehydration, the sugar levels drop.
Yeah.
And that would give them a spike, and we would persevere them walking up and get them to the top. And with that, in those couple of months, we actually brought down the rescues to way half of way below halfway mark of what we usually have. And then Hilton Blumeras, which I basically at the time was working with in hand in hand, working with the Rangers as well, said, listen, I should carry on with the program. I should introduce more people.
Yes.
And with that, I recruited more people. And with recruiting people, I had people coming in now into the program, giving their time as speakers, like firefighting,
yes.
First aid from Metro, SkyMed, how to be orientated around the chopper when the rescue happens, archaeology, and it goes on and on. And each year, there is always someone that wants to come onto the program,
yes.
A speaker. So they would have a day or half a day, come and give a talk about the topic, and that is how the program has been growing and educating and empowering young youth adults.
Yeah.
And when they start off in the program and when they leave, it's a total different person because they are empowered with a whole lot of knowledge,
yeah.
And with that, they feel more confident in themselves. And 80% of our people, whether they're a lawyer, whether they're an architect or a sweeper, in certain points, they have a lack of confidence in themselves. And you would think, I'll have an architect, a sweeper from the airport, or, you know, different dynamics of people on the program. But within the program, you actually, without them realizing, that person which is a sweeper and that one which is an architect or an engineer is actually educating each other with some sort of skills they've got, how they address things, and even like in the sense of sacrificing. A person that comes out of Galicia and a person in Bishop's Court, what are they going to learn from each other? The mere fact is, you might have everything, but you don't appreciate. And you come and get someone that comes out of Vandenberg, Khayelitsha, and those places. People that can sacrifice and be subservient with working with a little. And this is how the one teaches the other one,
yes.
Tolerance and things like that. The program was a year, 6 months.
Okay.
But then with all the lecturers that comes in, wants to be part of the program, I straight it to a year.
Okay.
And within the year, they actually do a lot of field work as well. Going out into the field, educating, if there's alien clearance, we work hand in hand with people in conservation, with the marine, if it's marine cleanup day or international coastal cleanup. I try to create bridges, build bridges with other parties outside the park, like Two Oceans Aquarium, Parks and Forest, Cape Nature. So when, in the sense of, in Cape Nature, they've got a different species of plants of alien clearance, I would go and take the volunteers of Sandparks, Tail Mountain, into their area,
okay.
And bring their volunteers into our area. And they're educating and also opening their eyes to show that there is other people from other parks which is basically also doing this type of voluntary work and things like that. Well, the volunteers don't get paid at all. They don't get paid a dime. And it's one of my major challenges in the sense of the uniforms that they get, that they buy, they actually purchase it themselves. And they don't pay for the program, but they have to pay for the uniforms, the park providers with transport and things like that. But when it gets perhaps to a full moon patrol, I bought myself a bus due to the program. So it's a T5 combi, and I basically do, when it's full night patrol on full moon, when it's people which doesn't have transport, then I would say, fine, whoever's available, and then I would take them home. Then
with
my own vehicle. And that is a challenge because sometimes it's like the one guy is in Ocean View, the other guy is Khayelitsha, and it's like right across. And the time we finish at full moons at times is like past 11 sometimes in summer. And then I still have to get home. I still have to drop them. When we go out, like for instance, for some of them, which is unemployed, some of them is students at CPUT or UWC, which does nature conservation studies and things like that. And that is part of the modules which they do in the studies. So the program I do is basically a hands-on, where they don't get that in college. So when they're in the park, but they are students and some is unemployed, and for them to financially get to the park, it becomes a hindrance because they come from all fields. And I start off like 8:30 and with public transport and things like that. That's one of the major things. When it's like late in the evening, that's also an issue. When they go, have to do, some of them can't afford the uniform, because the uniform I basically get purchased from Mr. Price Sports, because that is the cheapest place and of quality. Because I cannot buy something which is not suitable for walking in the mountain. You walk with a towel and you actually need a fleece. So I, with my experience in hiking, I always see that they're comfortable. So the clothing and gear that they get, I really try and source for a place where it's quite suitable, a reasonable price and things like that. And for this far, I've basically just using Mr. Price Sports, because I get the technical pants, the fleece from there, where I empower the community as well. This one lady, she got her own CMT, so that is also, but I basically tell her this is the fabric and she would manufacture that. Well, most of the time, basically all the time, the ad which I basically put out is on Facebook and on Table Mountain Volunteer website, Facebook page. And it's basically a word of mouth. For the time I've been running, I had applicants all the way from Gauteng, Northern Cape. And some people follow the Facebook page, and someone in the Cape of Table Mountain speak to someone about the program, and they're all eager and wanting to be in the program. Last year I had a girl from Gauteng. She wanted to relocate to Cape Town to be on the program, because what you do and things, it is so incredible to see. People can access the forms on the website, on Table Mountain Volunteers Facebook page, or otherwise they would call to Kai or Klufnik office for these forms. The applicants goes out basically from about February until January, February, March. April, we do the shortlisting, and then they come in for an interview. They do a short physical test. I do a profile with the interview. How the interviews work also is, this year's volunteers, which is really dedicated, and some of them which is still running, still in the park, I would put them in the panel as well as the interviewers. So that alone also is the empowerment, what the program does. For that person to sit behind the desk and doing the interview, and then asking the questions, they went through the program, so they've got a size and what the person is, and they know what we're looking for. Okay. And when they actually finish with the interview, and if they should go for an interview at another company or whatever, and they sit on the other side again, they won't feel so intimidated, because they were empowered the experience. But my telephone number is all over. They call Tukai's office, Klufnik or Mount Pleasant, the whole Table Mountain range, got my telephone number. It's 082-973-5202. Or otherwise, you can just look on Table Mountain Volunteer Facebook page.